Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.
Welcome into Morning Invest on this Thursday, February 3rd. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
Coming up on today's show, we're talking about the lockdowns, new data out about the effectiveness of lockdowns, and it's not good. So why in the world did we shut down businesses, alter our children's learning in schools and everything, just upend society? For these lockdowns, we're going to show you the stunning data about how effective or ineffective they were coming up in just a moment.
And plus, the head of Pfizer, or a board member rather, is saying that we don't really need masks in school any longer. What's their end game? We're going to discuss that.
And we just killed a whole bunch of civilians in Syria. The United States back at it. You know what we're doing, what we do best, which is bombing other countries. We'll tell you what actually happened there. The president came out with an announcement this morning about how this will keep you safer, Americans. We'll tell you about the children that were killed in that airstrike by the United States. All of that and more as we get uncomfortable once again on this Thursday morning.
Welcome to your Thursday. We're so glad you joined us. We have a lot of news to talk about. You can get a preview to that news in our morning newsletter. It comes to your email. It's free, and you can subscribe at morninginvest.com. I hope you are. We work really hard on it.
Yes, indeed. Morninginvest.com is the place to go. And, you know, we really appreciate all of our channel members here. If you're watching us and you're wondering, hey, how can I chat along with the show and be a member of the channel? We have a membership program. It's really cheap for like the price of a cup of coffee. You can support independent journalism and what we do here, covering the stories that mainstream media ignores largely or buries. That's the bottom line. So you can support us by going to morninginvest.com/join and becoming a channel member for like $1.99 a month. We've set it so that you can have it at the lowest possible price that YouTube allows us to set it. So that's what we do.
And we remind you, we are a married couple. We don't have people. We have David, but he doesn't come here and watch our kids.
But we're not a throuple, just to be clear.
We're not, no. And we have a child homesick today. So when we cut to Grover Cam, you will see Grover sitting next to that little lump. You see the little shock of hair coming out near the pillow. That is our five-year-old Eve, who's home with a little stomach bug. And yeah, so if you see me run with a bucket out of camera, you'll know why.
Yeah, let me see if I can. So this, whoop, that's bad. But yeah, she's right there in the pillow, buried deep, five-year-old. And Grover the Protector is watching over her right now.
Indeed he is.
So we'll see.
He's a ferocious guard dog.
We'll see how long this peaceful setting lasts.
So let's hurry and get through the news so that I don't have to rush out of here.
All right, let's start with this story. Bucket. We've got some really stunning, I mean, it's not a word we usually throw around lightly, but this is there's no other way to describe it other than stunning, this new lockdown.
Oh, I can think of some words.
Well, this new data out, this new study out this morning showing that all lockdowns, social restrictions, mask measures throughout the world reduced COVID by only 0.2%.
COVID deaths. Specifically. Okay. So this is a study out of Johns Hopkins Applied Economic Global Health and Study of Business Enterprise. And it was a study that looked for correlation between strict lockdowns and prevention of death. What they found was that the strictest measures only prevented deaths but to the tune of 0.2%. That's less than 1%, 0.2 of 1%. They further found that shelter in place orders reduced COVID deaths by 2.9%. That means that of people who would have otherwise died of COVID due to exposure, we only prevented the spread and death by less than 1% in some cases by strictest measures. Now, they looked country by country, which countries had the strictest rules, and did they in turn prevent deaths? Now, some are saying, well, we shouldn't put too much stock in this study because it's not a peer-reviewed study. It's not, right? Every study has to start somewhere and then go to peers for review. That's how academic research works. And others are saying, well, they sort of picked and choosed their data set, so we take issue with that. But even if we give this a margin of error, but let's give it a wide margin of error by 10%, okay?
Mm-hmm. Well, you'd have to, just based on the fact that a lot of the, you know, there's died with versus of COVID. Those numbers, so like the numbers of the tests.
Is like, did it prevent further spread and incidence of severity? What they said in their study is that it could have, lockdowns could have made it worse, because if COVID did get into your house, then the vulnerable people in your house got a higher viral load because you were sheltered in place with maybe with the virus,
yeah,
rather than going out into the world and getting lesser exposure. So even if we give it a margin of error of 10%, what if that number is 12%, that lockdowns decreased COVID deaths by 12%? Is that worth it? This is an important question that I don't think any of us can answer right away, but must ask.
And it seems like infinitesimal. And so, I mean, this number, I mean, because Johns Hopkins professor of surgery, Dr. Martin McCary, was on Tucker's show last night. Now, this study is from Johns Hopkins. So he's blasting the study because Johns Hopkins kept it quiet, didn't even release like a press release on it because they don't want the attention around. So they do the study and then don't release any information around the study, almost as if to say, well, we got this really good information, but we don't want to release it to the world because it really would shine a light on what we just did to people and upending people's lives. Take a listen to what he had to say on this issue.
You know, the top line analysis from this study, that I'm just going to stop talking and ask you what you make of it.
Well, it's interesting. There's really only been one narrative on this entire topic, and it's probably one of the biggest interventions in the history of public health. And this study, which came out today from my institution, looked at 34 different studies that asked this question, and they concluded that the lockdowns had no significant reduction in mortality and an aggregated reduction of about 0.2%. Now, compare that number, which turns out to be about 1,800 individuals, to the number of non-COVID deaths, what we call the excess COVID, non-COVID mortality in the United States. It was 124,000 excess deaths in year one. So over 2 years, it was about 250,000 people who died. Many, many scientists have not begun to peel back this number to understand why were more people dying than the normal death rate in the United States for reasons not related to COVID. Well, we're now understanding that 60,000 to 70,000 of them died from substance abuse, deferred cancer care. That statistic takes years to accrue.
That's crazy.
We know about the self-harm and suicide numbers. And there are hundreds of kids in Baltimore alone that the teachers described never logged on to their virtual learning modules ever. And they were lost to follow up forever in the school system.
So, I mean, just think about that for a second. Think about this study, right? That the number of lives saved by the lockdowns was infinitesimal compared to those that lost their lives through missed cancer diagnoses because they never got a chance to go, or just treatments alone.
Or what is it? Patricide? What the word for it? In Mexico, just last week, they announced that gang-related deaths were down, but deaths of domestic dispute were up because of people being in lockdown with abusive spouses or family members.
Well, and two things, like John Campbell, that video we watched where he showed the actual numbers, like that of people that died of COVID and how much different those were. You know, that speaks to this right now. Like how many of the deaths that happened were actually from COVID? Like, we don't know those numbers in the United States.
And I think he's saying 1,800 in this study. 1,800 compared to the hundreds of thousands.
right.
that would have died because of these other extra things related to COVID, but not be, like, you know, cancer screenings and things like that, not being able to get the proper treatment as a result of these lockdowns.
Yes.
Well, and you know, these doctors that are being marginalized and that are getting blocked off of YouTube and all that other stuff said at the very beginning that a lockdown is the worst thing you can do with a virus like this, because it's airborne. And yeah. So you're putting people inside when you should be encouraging them to be outside. He's like, the first thing they did was close the national parks.
Well, Dr. Fauci, I mean, so, you know, Dr. Fauci, of course, was all over this, saying that the lockdowns are the most important thing you can do. It saved hundreds of millions of lives, right? Those were his words. And that bears out that that's not the case. You know, and Dr. Fauci had been continuing to say that. Here's what he had to say, if you want a recap of this.
While this meta-analysis concludes that lockdowns have had little to no public health effects, they have imposed enormous economic and social costs where they have been adopted. In consequence, lockdown policies are ill-founded and should be rejected as a pandemic policy instrument. Sorry for the raised voice. It wrecks people's lives, millions of people's lives. But Tony Fauci said they were absolutely necessary to save millions. Remember?
The fact that we shut down when we did, and the rest of the world did, has saved hundreds of millions of infections and millions of lives.
Okay, so look, we're not saying this study is ironclad science. These were mostly economics professors who were studying demography and correlation, right?
All right, so we don't have the peer-reviewed piece of this yet.
So it's not for us to say this is true. What is for us to do is say we need to now break out the scale and say, what are we missing, right? Mm-hmm. It's not just a matter of now, oh, too bad first graders don't have field trips. It runs much deeper than that.
Right.
And so how do we put this on an opportunity scale between, like, people will die or the rest of society is losing so much that is unacceptable?
Right. At what point do we say enough is enough? How, you know, we're going to start treating this like we would with the flu or something else, where if there is someone that has four comorbidities, I mean, I hate to say it, I mean, are we going to alter the course of our children's lives by having them stay home and ruin their learning experience because somebody is 78 years old and has four comorbidities and this is what we're dealing with? I mean, this is a question. It's a trade-off. We have to wonder, do we all, you know, this person who's lived a full life,
some people have comorbidities who have not lived a full life. We have people with genetic disorders. We have people with early onset cancers. And I think that if you look at the animal kingdom, humans are the only species that protect their weakest. We don't take the weakest bird and push it out of the nest or eat it or leave it behind. That's what makes being a human beautiful. And so many of us have been willing
Andrew Cuomo in New York.
I don't
It's like the
nursing home deaths.
Throw
them all in, throw all the, you know, the COVID patients in nursing homes.
But for the most part, humans are the only species that if one of our own has some kind of birth defect or sickness, we rally around that. We don't leave it behind to die. In the animal kingdom, a lot of times that happens. And that's what makes us special. And I think we need to all collectively say, we did our best to protect the weakest population. But now we have to look around and see who else is becoming weakened because of this.
Right. David, sorry, I interrupted you.
Well, no, it's fine. I was just going to say, it's kind of like if you think of like mold. When you get mold in your home, you don't like tell everybody to lock down and stay in there. And so the mold, you know, like infects you. You get out. You know, and so it's like it was the opposite thing to do. And when you talk about taking care of our own, we've had methods from the very beginning to take care of those people. But those methods were demonized and said not that they could not be used. And now, like even the monoclonal antibodies, they're making those so you can't get those either. And they're the only thing those are the only things that we're helping. And they could have helped these people.
Zishan Khan in our chat says a great number of doctors were against the lockdowns, hence the great Barrington Declaration?
Yeah, Barrington Declaration. Yeah. And that's doctors that were, Dr. Fauci did an active campaign to smear with Francis Collins. Like they actively tried to make these people look bad. And these are three very credible scientists.
So, Senator Rand Paul, who's also a doctor, and I love when people look, there's a lot I don't like about Rand Paul, right? But demonizing him for trying to get out information on this is, you know, it, to me, flies in the face of democracy.
Like, okay, but it's counterproductive. We don't have to like someone to hear what they have to say on this show. So
right.
We shouldn't like say, well, we're going to play this guy, but we really don't like him. We're just going to hear what he
has. No. What I was going to say is there are people that denigrate him by not calling him a doctor. He's an ophthalmologist,
yes.
Right? So you have to go to medical school. But people call him, they're like, he's an eye doctor at the mall.
No, that's the difference between an optometrist, right, which is not a medical doctor. And an ophthalmologist, which does have to go to medical school.
Right, and work on corpses and stuff. I mean, yeah, it's a long, long... So anyway, that's Dr. Rand Paul. Anyway, here is his thoughts on this new study.
This brand new study out of Johns Hopkins says it basically did nothing. In fact, it could have even harmed or increased the spread of COVID.
Well, let's hope we learn from our mistakes. I mean, in the 14th century, the Pope surrounded himself with candles because they thought the infection could be burned out of the air with candles to save people. And it was a wrong-headed notion. It took a few centuries for us, really till the 19th century, to understand the germ theory. But now we have lockdowns, which are not based in science. And really, we know that, by and large, masks didn't work, plexiglass didn't work, 6 feet of distance didn't work. The one thing we do know that did work is vaccines and natural immunity. Those work to protect people from hospitalization and death and also slow some of the spread. So we should emphasize what works and not, I mean, it was real disservice for Dr. Fauci to go around saying cloth masks do work, because then you have an 80-year-old taking care of their spouse with COVID and wearing a cloth mask that has no value whatsoever. And that's a mistake. He caused people to engage in activities that they wouldn't have normally by telling him it was safe when it wasn't.
Very interesting to say there. So he says, look, what do we know from the data, right? Lockdowns did not work. We know that the vaccine did work to lessen the impact in hospitals,
yes,
right? And deaths overwhelmingly, right? And so we should have emphasized what works and what doesn't. We also now know that if you are a healthy individual, why in the world would you go and get a booster shot, especially if in kids? You actually have a higher increase risk of myocarditis in children by getting a booster than you do from the booster than getting COVID itself.
So just the booster, the initial
data.
Yeah, even like,
yeah. And that's out. I mean, that's those studies are out now, right? And I shared with you yesterday. Mm-hmm. So again, these are the things that are factual. And, you know, again, you have these people that are out there sort of blindly just pushing this narrative when it doesn't work. And now we see how detrimental this has been to Americans, small businesses. This book that we read a few weeks ago, months ago, called The War on Small Business, How the Government Used the Pandemic to Crush the Backbone of America by Carol Roth. This is a must read book.
She specifically talks about how in 2019, the United States was supposed to go through all kinds of pandemic training and simulations. A lot of that was just kind of pushed to the back burner during the election cycle. But some of it was completed. It did not really involve lockdowns. It involved rolling out tests and protective gear and all of that stuff. It was more of a supply chain drill than anything else. But that... none of that actually went into place when the pandemic hit. We were all kind of like deer in the headlights.
Well, and Peter McAuliffe talked about a document that was written in 2017 that talked about this exact same thing, how this was going to happen and how there would only be one solution. You can't find that article now, but he was talking about it it's still out there, but in 2017, they were talking about this.
Yes.
So they kind of knew that this was possible.
So that's on the lockdown front. So,
but I think what this does is dismantle this narrative that sort of liberals and opinionated people on Twitter are like, if you're anti-lockdown, you're just a selfish person, right? Oh, you don't care about other people, so you don't do that. And so I think that this will help to break down that superiority complex that people who and who says that? Who are the people who say that? If you don't lock down, you're selfish. It's people who have virtual work and a comfortable home office,
right,
and have nothing to lose Right. And those people, like, and their only opportunity cost of the pandemic is being annoyed that their children are home from school. Those people don't get to talk and call other people selfish. Those people can STFU. That's what I have right. to say about that.
I'm very bad with, like, the internet shorthand, like STFU, like, or like IMH. Like, I always have to look them up.
Yes.
The other day, someone sent me an email on the newsletter that I sent out the newsletter, and they really liked my joke about Elton John, that he got COVID, and I wrote, he's still standing, but not as good as he ever did. And, you know, which, come on, that's pretty good, right?
Yeah,
and someone wrote and said, I thought that was F-A-H, and I'm like, what is that? I had to look it up, F-A-H.
That doesn't just come to you naturally.
No, because I don't know those, but you know.
Do you go to, maybe you should bookmark acronymfinder.com. Org.
I guess.
I've been going what there
for years. What is
F-A-H? F-A-H is funny as hell.
Heck.
Funny as heck, yeah. Funny as hell.
H-E devil hockey sticks.
So I appreciate that. So, all right, that's lockdowns, right? And you're right. If anything, we need these peer-reviewed studies. But if anything, I mean, this is a pretty large study by Johns Hopkins. Like, I think they're almost like didn't want to share this information, clearly. And I think it dovetails nicely into our next story, which is on masks in schools. So there is growing concern that masks in schools, first of all, it doesn't do anything to slow the spread. It doesn't stop anything, doesn't help anything. But if anything, it is hurting children, their ability to learn, their ability to breathe, facial development, mental development, sociability. I mean, the list is endless for kids in schools with masks. And now there's a push. Dr. Scott Gottlieb yesterday calling out, saying that he hopes the CDC will look at this mask mandate and make a revision to get rid of it for schools.
Yesterday, which caught my eye, it was a scientific study looking at specifically whether Delta prevented Omicron, but also, and maybe more importantly, whether Omicron prevents Omicron, meaning if you've got an Omicron, can you get it again, and what kind of antibodies are created? And it seemed to suggest that actually getting Omicron is not going to prevent you from getting it in the future. And what does that portend if true?
Look, that's been true all the way through. There's been sort of this small camp that thinks that once you get COVID, you're never going to get it again, and the immunity from it is durable, like we saw with SARS and MERS. That was never true. But what we saw with the previous variants was that the immunity persisted for a longer period of time. What we're seeing with Omicron, and there's now pretty good evidence around this, the Siegel lab put out some studies around this, the Bloom lab did, and now you saw this study out of UCSF. It appears that the immunity conferred by infection from Omicron isn't that durable. You probably have a period of immunity that lasts at least 3 months, probably upwards of 6 months, but eventually the antibodies do wane. Now, you have residual T and B cell immunity. We've talked about this, so you're going to be protected against more severe outcomes, probably, but you're probably going to get subsequently infected or reinfected with Omicron. So it's not a durable immunity. It's certainly going to be sufficient to provide a level of immunity across this population, given how many people we've seen infected with Omicron, to drive prevalence levels down very low. But heading into the fall, we're probably going to need to contemplate revaccination if you want to maintain your immunity. And the best speculation we've seen around why Omicron isn't conferring a more durable immunity is it's more of an upper airway infection. So we see less durable immunities with upper airway infections. And you get it's less virulent, that since it's a less severe infection, it's not inducing as robust of an antibody response and an antibody-induced immunity.
Okay. So those of us who had Delta, which was more virulent, can we get a gold star or something?
Well, of course, and it should be pointed out, yes, he is on the board of Pfizer. So here we go in the fall, revaccination. But he did go on to say that it's time to consider dumping school COVID mask mandates.
Which is what
he said
last week.
Well, that's because they're not making money on them.
Right. That honestly, when I saw this story overnight, that was immediately my first response was, well, yeah, we can get rid of the masks as long as you still have to buy and Pfizer still makes its money and Merck
until
still
the trials so of their
the point
Pfizer
that
masks
he made
come out.
About not masking young kids over the weekend on Face the Nation was masks don't work for them, they don't keep it on, so let's just vaccinate them all. So if we get rid of masks, then we will have to over rely on vaccines. Mm-hmm. There definitely is an alternative motive there for him to say that, right? Even though the CDC is saying, masks from death to us part, pretty much.
Yeah.
So I was looking for that article of saying what I said, and I found an article from January 12th, 2017, where Dr. Fauci, and this is before any of this, Dr. Fauci said that If there's one message that I want to leave with you today based on my experience is that there's no question that there will be a challenge to the coming administration in the arena of infectious diseases. Like he was predicting. And so if it came from the lab,
right,
his lab, he's predicting in 2017 that we were going to see a global pandemic and that Trump would have to deal with it.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, so this is all part of this sort of, you know, this idea that it was man-made and we knew it was coming. The reason we knew it was coming is because we were already working on it. And, you know, of course it was going to happen sooner or later. And that's why they were, you know, that's why they had these protocols in place. That's why they had these plans and they were running through these testing, you know, scenarios and all of this.
Well, actually, Sylvia Brown predicted this. She's a psychic medium in her 2008 book called End of Days, where she said in and around 2020, there will be a respiratory virus that runs through the earth. So, okay, maybe Dr. Fauci has psychic abilities.
Or he just knew something from his own lab that he was working on.
Well, okay, but let's.
Anyway. I mean, it's conspiracy, but like this, like if you start to put the things together, like is it kind of coincidence that he was at the head of helping the administration when he.
And he's also now the highest paid member of the government, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, so to this point, that my daughter has had respiratory just congestion since my family had COVID in October, and it does not seem to be going away. And I took her to an allergist and I took her to her pediatrician and they said, there's nothing really wrong. It's just continued congestion. So I took her this morning to an acupuncturist who's been treating her for a long time. And she did feel a lot better afterwards. There's a lot of science on the efficacy of acupuncture. But our Western insurance plans don't cover it. So too many Westerners don't have access to it. I do pay out of pocket for it. And he was saying for some people with respiratory that are prone to respiratory viruses, which she is, she had RSV as a baby, small baby, masks will make it harder for her to breathe. And there is no option right now for her not to have the mask in school, even though she has recovered, not from Omicron, which we're gonna call the COVID light, but from Delta. And I even have the blood work to show it, and I don't know what to do about it. But he said, you know, masks are great for some people who have allergies, who suffer when the spring comes because of reaction to all of these allergens. For some people, it's fine. For other people, it's not. And so now I'm between a rock and a hard place. Like, am I going to be that mom who's going to have to get Mama Bear and say, please look at her blood work. She's suffering. Can we do something about it? Or do I wait it out a little bit longer? And it's turning my stomach to know what the right thing to do is.
Well, if we have these, you know, government mandates that hopefully are being removed, and a lot of countries now are moving in this direction. The latest is Italy this morning, which is now removing COVID restrictions. Denmark has already removed COVID restrictions. The Netherlands, France is moving that in that direction. Finland as well. Let's see, Portugal. Let me see if I pull up Portugal's Portugal's news this morning, over 8,000 fewer deaths in January than the same month last year. Time to shed restrictions, the experts are saying. They had just had a big election in Portugal where their party, the opposition party, was basically saying, hey, we're done with the pandemic. And they actually got quite a number of votes. A lot of young people were like voted for that. And so, you know, it's interesting to see that, well, it's different than 2020. It's different than 2021. Time to end these restrictions.
Yeah. I think I might feel differently if my daughter had not already had COVID. But given that she has, is the mask protecting her at school? No. Mm-hmm. Right. Does it protect other people? Perhaps. But social distancing measures are still in place. So what is the right thing to do to advocate for my child? I'm not asking you. I'm telling you that I'm.
Right.
I appreciate your comments, but I'm just telling you my own conundrum. So I don't really want your advice, but I do, but I don't, but I do.
We've got more news to get to here on the show. We're going to talk about the unbelievable court case and where the team Biden, the White House, has come out on student loans and student loan forgiveness. You're not going to believe this story. Some great reporting from the Daily Poster on this, on what the Biden administration is doing, really going backwards against student loans. We're also going to talk about the Syrian raid and what's trending on the internet. But first, and tell us what our friends over at Paint Your Life will do for you.
Sure, I will do that. All right. Paint Your Life is a service that helps you provide personal artwork to your home. You don't have to be royalty to have a painted portrait of you and your loved ones. Now that we can get out and travel and take vacations and take family portraits, we might want to celebrate some of our best memories by turning them into portraits. That's where paintyourlife.com comes in. It's a really great gift for, say, someone who just got married or an anniversary. It's really not that expensive. What you do is you take your favorite artwork, you upload it, and then you get...
Photo.
Your favorite photograph. And then you get a professional hand-painted portrait created from any photo at a truly affordable price. You can combine photos or places. You get to communicate with the artist who takes on your project, and it really comes out lovely, exactly as you envision it. You can choose from a team of world-class artists and work with them until every detail is perfect, and they will not cast the die until you are signed off on how the project should work. It makes really the perfect birthday, anniversary, or wedding gift, and it's a meaningful and personal gift that can be cherished forever. We have one of our family portrait when especially the kids were pretty tiny, and it came out so beautifully. I was worried that we would all look a little bit like a caricature in painting because I'd never really seen it. Look at this beagle on the
beautiful, yeah.
On the right, yeah.
But yeah, the painting turned out beautiful. We hung it right in our main walkway. It was so nice.
Yes.
Yeah.
At paintyourlife.com, there's no risk. If you don't fall in love with the final painting, your money will be refunded, guaranteed. And right now, as a limited time offer, get 20% off your painting. That's right, 20% off and free shipping. So to get this special offer, text the word INVEST to 64000. That's INVEST to 64000.
Three zeros, right?
Yes.
Okay.
There is no three in there.
Okay. 64000.
Text INVEST to 64000. Paint Your Life helps you celebrate the moments that matter most. Message and data rates apply, of course. Terms apply. Available at paintyourlife.com/terms.
So text the word INVEST to 64000.
Indeed.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about the student loan story. So the folks over at the Daily Poster have, it's a website I actually pay money to subscribe to because of their journalism, their independent journalism. I think they do an amazing job. You should all do it. I'm not affiliated with them in any way. I just think they do amazing journalism. David Sirota is one of the journalists over there. Anyway, this story really caught my eye and blew me away. And this is a piece that they did because of a Freedom of Information Act request from them. Like, the only reason we even know about it is because they've dug in on this story. President Biden has moved to block student loan debt victory for one particular child. But this would set a precedent in the courts that would basically harm any other person who is going through like a hardship in their life and is looking and has to absolve themselves of this really draconian, burdensome student loan debt.
Well, it's not a child. It's a 35-year-old man who had $100,000 of student loan debt.
Yeah.
And he suffered seizures while he was working as a driver for Uber and Lyft. So he was what they call underemployed. So he had this expensive education, but not high-paying jobs, right?
Right.
And so he was working his butt off to try to pay off these student loans, couldn't do it, and then became disabled because of these seizures. And so he went to a bankruptcy court, and a bankruptcy judge found that he could then dismiss $100,000 of his student loan debt. The judge signed off on it and even felt some empathy. A lot of times judges don't... they don't sign off on someone being disabled and unable then to pay that debt. It's an uphill battle. Bankruptcy is really tough. And the Justice Department under the Biden administration came in and sued to block that, meaning, oh, no, we're not going to forgive that guy's six-figure debt. We'd like to slap it back on, please. Stop that. So this is obviously something where the president says, yes, I understand student loan debt is debilitating. We're going to cancel at least, well, the money figure moves from 5,000 to 50,000 to 10,000. So far they've dismissed zero, but this man who used the bankruptcy courts appropriately due to actual physical debilitations and had a judge agree with him now has the Justice Department coming in and saying, don't do that.
Yeah, this is unbelievable.
Don't give that guy a reprieve of his $100,000 loan. So what then? You, 35-year-old dude with epilepsy, get back to work.
I mean,
pay this loan off. What's wrong with you?
It's amazing, too, because as the Daily Poster points out, over the last four decades, over the last 40 years, and this is, goes back to something that David and I talked about over the summer and last year. It's like, look at Biden's track record on this, right? We've been calling for him to alleviate $50,000 in student loan debt, right? That's something that Elizabeth Warren has wanted. That's something that Chuck Schumer has wanted. But Biden, over the last 40 years, has fought against any of that, any initiatives to reduce student loan debt. Even, I mean, while he was a senator from Delaware, he, in fact, created laws that made it so difficult for Americans to reduce their student debts in bankruptcy court. I mean, he was there in lockstep with President Bush, who pushed for this anti-bankruptcy for student loan debt obligations in the mid-2000s under President George W. Bush. Senator, Democrat from Delaware, who's now your president, has been doing this for decades. And so, he promised on the campaign trail a $10,000 reduction in student loan debt, right? He would alleviate that. That hasn't happened, and he could do that with a stroke of a pen, and hasn't done
didn't
it.
Didn't he promise $50,000 on the campaign trail, then lowered it to $10,000 once he was in office? I thought I remembered it being $50,000 he was promising.
I thought it was $10,000 on the campaign trail that he would, on the presidential trail, yeah, specifically, according to the Daily Poster, and from what my memory, Biden
50
appeared,
was, I think, Elizabeth Warren's
yeah, 50
number.
Was Elizabeth Warren and Chuck
okay.
Schumer.
Okay, I just remember that being part of the conversation.
But he said he wanted to immediately cancel a minimum of $10,000 of student loan debt. So that opened the door for more, a minimum of $10,000. Look, let's just start there. He didn't even do that.
Zero. The current number. So, do you think we're being unfair in blaming him for this when it's the Justice Department that has sued?
You can't call Merrick Garland, the person you appointed as the Attorney General. You can't get on the phone and say, "Hey, Merrick,
like, let's not do this." Hey, well, you're this, not supposed to influence, you know, what cases are brought and what aren't.
Call Trump, see if he did.
I'm just saying that this is, and absolutely, you're the leader. You appointed the head of the Justice Department. You set the tone for what right. you want. But I'm just wondering, is it too far down the branch for to blame him for it, or shall we be instead looking at the Justice Department and saying this is a crappy thing to do to a person?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is a crappy thing for her, and the president can. You know, if you want to be a populist, you want to come out on the side of the people, come out and say, speak your mind about this issue. You know, let's just say, hey, I want to side with the judge on this. We had President Obama that did that all the time. When a judge would make a certain thing or say one thing, he would come out and say something. He got slammed for it quite a bit.
Yes.
Like, you shouldn't be. But hey, I think most Americans would be on the side of you supporting this young guy who can't work, has $100,000 in student loan debt because of this undue hardship.
Well, and furthermore, do we want him going back to work as a Lyft driver who now is prone to seizures? Is that what the Justice Department wants?
Like, yeah. Do I want to get in the Lyft? Do I want to get in his car? No offense.
People with seizures usually lose their license right away before they have to go a certain specific amount of time seizure free on medication before they get their license back. But even still, then what's he going to do?
Yeah. Go ahead, David.
Well, and I was just going to say, like, it's no different than them getting involved in the pardon, you know, like they pardon prisoners and stuff. So what's the difference here? If they have the power to pardon somebody in that way, then he does have the power to get involved in this.
Yeah. I mean, I would like to see him. I mean, I'd rather, it's like, you know, do something and then ask for forgiveness later. Like, he comes out and says, you know what? This is the catalyst that I needed. I saw this happening and you know what? It's time for me to take action. And this could be the catalyst.
Yeah.
You know, this could be the thing, right? Again, these are the things that I think about, like, if I were ever president and I heard and I was in the White House and I heard this kind of a story, I would gather up my staff and say, enough is enough. Like, let's take action on this. Like, what can we do?
And do we need this $100,000 from this guy right now that, like,
so we can bomb other countries with that money?
Well, we'll talk about that in a bit. Go ahead,
David. And hate Trump all you want, but at least, like, when he couldn't do things behind the scenes legally, he would tweet and make pressure on these people. Like, Biden could tweet and say, don't do this, this is wrong. And then you see the feedback from people, it gets kind of viral, and that kind of can help this stuff move forward.
A final button on this, though, is the bottom piece of this Daily Poster piece. I want to call attention to it because this really struck me. So after campaigning on that promise for that $10,000 in student loan debt forgiveness, Biden then pulled back on that, saying, you know, hey, we're going to have to check on this with the Education Department because I don't know that we have the authority to do this. And soon after Biden took office, he said, we're going to have the Education Department review that process and see if I do have the authority to cancel student loan debt. For months, the administration has claimed that it's been under legal review. It's been ongoing. It's been almost, you know, it's been over a year now he's been in office, right? This review must be taking a long time at your Education Department, right? But a public records request filed by the Debt Collective, which is an organization pressuring Biden to cancel student loan debt, revealed that the Education Department had completed its review in early April 2021.
Oh.
So they're lying to you, lying straight to your face. The memo detailing the administration's legal authority was highly redacted when it was released in response to the public records request. And top Democrats are now calling on the administration to release an unredacted version of it. So they're lying to you. They're lying to us, and they're lying to us still.
It was specifically supposed to be a calculation of how...
Whether or not the president had the authority. Whether the president had the authority through executive action to eliminate student loan debt, or at least a portion of it. That report came out in April of last year, and we've heard nothing about it. Why have we not heard about it?
But he has shown an appetite to do things he's unsure that he has the authority. Look at the eviction moratorium. He extended it last summer and said, I am not clear that I have the right to do this, but I'm going to do it, and that will protect people while it works through the courts.
There was another mandate he didn't know if he could do.
Right.
The vaccine mandate is another one where he knows that he may or may not, but he knows that he can do those things, set them in motion while it is litigated. He's fine with that.
So then why, right? I mean, is it because of what happens with, we set a debt precedent then? Is it credit card companies that lobby the president? Is it, you know, I don't know. I mean, again, it's a federal student loan. So it's not like the Visa is behind it. It's not like MasterCard is pushing it. Again, you know, you have Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, who's been pushing for $50,000 in student loan forgiveness. Elizabeth Warren as well. Just as recently as last week, we covered that story here on the show. They went out at a town hall and did it again.
For Schumer, I think it's more like he's one of those look what he says, not or look what he does, not what he says kind of guys.
Yeah.
That's true.
All right, let's check in on sick baby Cam, and then we'll move on.
She shifted.
She shifted.
So if you're tuning in, this is a live camera in our bedroom because our 5-year-old little girl is homesick from school today. So she's buried in the pillows there at the top. And then Grover, our 2-year-old mini pincher, is there by her waist. He's protecting her. You can see his ear sort of sticking up there.
That big lump on the end is my maternity pillow that I still sleep with, even though I haven't been pregnant in over 5 years, because I cannot be without it. I'm interested in anyone else who's ever been pregnant. If they got rid of the maternity pillow that you put between your knees,
I still have mine.
Not you. Although I have two because, and I passed one down to Clayton. He doesn't really appreciate it like I do, but I can't do without it.
I have my pillow that I lay my head on. Then I have my pillow that I wrap my arms and legs around.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's just a big, long, like, zombie pillow.
Those aren't pillows.
It's fabulous.
Where's your other hand?
I don't like sleeping on my side, though. I've been really lately, because now Grover sleeps with us, so he sleeps down by my knees all the time. I've been sleeping on my back over the past year. And it's so much better on
it
your neck.
It really is. But
So I've been doing that. Or I sleep on my stomach. So I don't go in betweensies with the sleeping on the side. Because then it hurts my shoulder, you know? By the way, if anyone in the chat, and please do not say my pillow guy, I'm looking for a good pillow. I really want one of those ones that has like the contoured neck, you know?
Like he got once the grain pillow? The one that was made of tiny little
It was called the hull? What was it called?
Dude,
it
you got to get
like
the one that I have.
It was pieces of barley, and you could hear it all night. So you put your head on it, and you could hear all the grains of barley rubbing against each other. It was the most annoying thing.
It's called Fields of Gold.
It was the stupidest
thing. You got to get the pillow that I use. It's called the Cube Pillow.
Cube.
And so, Cube. So it's basically a cube, and you, it's like, because I sleep on my side.
SpongeBob sleeping on that?
It does look like a little SpongeBob. It's square, But I sleep on my side, so I lay my head in there, and the corner of it fits right in the arch of my neck, so it's like I sleep perfectly flat.
Is this it?
Yeah.
Pillow yep. Cube. And by the way, they're not a sponsor of the show or anything. I'm just...
Yeah, we're just talking.
Pillow
Cube. No, but it's been the best pillow I've ever had. Like, I was really skeptical about it, and I was like, and then the first couple of nights, I was like, man, I don't think I like this, and now I'm like, I have to even take it with me when I travel.
Wow. Do you sleep on your side with it?
Yeah, I'll fall asleep sometimes on my back, but yes, I majorly sleep on my side.
Huh. Huh. Interesting. All right. Yeah. Oh, I can get this one, like the shark, little baby shark.
Cute.
I'm going to try that.
And you have
like the Lego movie thing.
You have a cube pillowcase?
Yeah. I mean, a regular pillowcase goes on it.
Huh.
All right. Cool.
I'm gonna try this. I'm gonna check that out. But I want what I think I want is like the curved one, you know, like the
that's what I thought too.
You know, swooping one where you like lay in it like that. But
I even got the Mike Lindell VIP pillow and it didn't work. I tried the curved ones. I tried so many different pillows and this is the one that finally ended up working for me.
All right. Stephanie Rossi, that story you just brought up is in trending today. Absolutely. You're on the nose, girl. But let's first get to this story about
Syria.
About Syria. So the United States confirms that it has indeed led a raid in Syria. They said that the statement from, do you have it here? I put it in the, let's. No. Sorry.
Yes,
this. The statement from the Department of Defense says that the raid was successful and that there were no U.S. casualties, which is all right for some, because groups on the ground say there were indeed many civilian casualties. The reports are up to 13. Initial reports said there were at least 2 children and 1 woman. Now I believe that number is up to 6 children and 4 women. We're still getting confirmed reports about it. And the United States has only just confirmed what the raid was about and why we went in.
So the president this morning releasing this statement says, last night at my direction, U.S. military forces in northwest Syria successfully undertook a counterterrorism operation to protect the American people and our allies and make the world a safer place. So they thanked
and the thing is, they tell us they got a leader.
Forces, we have taken off the battlefield Abu Ibrahim al-Hashimi, the leader of ISIS. All Americans have returned safely from the operation, yet all of these children are
now
dead.
Wait, they confirmed that was the target?
Yes.
And that person was indeed killed?
Yes. Now they're saying
And the thing is,
yes.
We don't know who that target was. That was like Anwar al-Awlaki, you know, who was assassinated by Obama. Like... when I did research after the fact, the videos that I found of him were him teaching kids not to hate Americans because they're bombing in your country. Like he was trying to give them a positive message to like, we can't hate all Americans for this. And then they assassinated his kid too. So it's like, we don't know who these people are. They can say that they got a like, oh no, we just killed a bunch of civilians. Yeah. Just say there was a leader in there.
Well, reports were that they were after him because he was the successor of the of al-Baghdadi, who was the IS leader, right? Some reports were that U.S. forces went in with speakers and said in Arabic bullhorns to get out of the area for about 45 minutes before the strikes hit, which raises the question... Wouldn't the terrorists in the area also evacuate if they heard this announcement?
Yeah, the main terrorist ISIS guy is sitting there going, no, he's not. They're not talking to us. They're trying to get the kids and stuff out of
here. Hey, Sally, what's that noise in the garden?
Yeah.
Oh, it's just some guy on a bullhorn telling everyone to get out of here for safety reasons.
Looks like U.S. Special Forces.
Really? Yeah, they're just telling everyone to get out of here for safety reasons. We're here in Syria, which is, you know, it's very, this happens all the time. Someone on a bullhorn just telling people to evacuate for 45 minutes.
They did say, you know, they went in guns a-blazing and there was a lot of bloodshed because there was backfighting, right? They didn't just let them come in killing. Mm-hmm. The opposition forces were fighting back. The pictures are awful. I have them here. Are you? Do you Which have ones? The appetite to show them?
This is the house.
This is the top of the house that was raided. And then the next two, I warn you. Then this one, can you see in the top left is a baby crib? The next one is bloody. So if you don't want to, if you want to look away, I'm going to give you that option. Okay, we're going to. So this, you know, no matter what you think on behalf of humanity, I don't think this is a reason to celebrate. But the United States is saying that it was necessary. This was a town on the Turkish border that mostly housed Syrian refugees. So think about it for a second. These people already had been escaping their war-torn homes and were here as refugees and then have to suffer this. I just read a book about Syrian refugees it's fairly new. It's called The Beekeeper of Aleppo. And it really put a face, it's fiction, but it was written by a woman who worked for UNESCO, a British woman who worked in these areas. It's awful. These people are suffering things that have nothing to do with them and their entire lives
over
are
oil.
Ripped apart.
Yeah, it's over oil.
Pull up the book? It's called Beekeeper of Aleppo. So I think with that perspective in mind, no matter what you think, this is, it just turns my stomach. Now, recall that just 2 days ago, we reported that the Department of Defense released a statement saying that within 90 days, we're going to release a report that details how we can minimize civilian casualties. So we're working on it. We're going to try and do better. And that also we are going to do better at when reporting civilian casualties when they happen. The U.S. government has not admitted to killing civilians in this area yet. So I don't think I would like to wait 90 days to be instated. I would like to hear from them right now.
The reporters figured it out, though. You know, have AP reporters on the ground who are saying, like, this is what happened. So far, according to AP reports today, that there are 12 bodies that have been removed. And yes, civilians. So,
well, and if you also want to get real news from over there, watch Al Jazeera. Al Jazeera covers it from their side, from their numbers.
Yeah. Oh, no. You can't watch that, right? Because in the United States, everyone's like, oh, that's the terrorist network, really?
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting. So get all sides of this. Who's telling the truth here? But I love this take on this by Isabella Jones. She says, who the hell asked the pirate empire to invade a sovereign country, start bombing people in that country, killing women and children? And then what makes them think they can get up and act like Archangel Michael in a white shining suit and pretend to be wonderful saviors of mankind? And that's in his statement. He said, Americans are safer. Do you feel any safer today? Like, do you feel safer that we went in and bombed a foreign country? And over oil specifically, how much oil have we removed from Syria? How much oil have we taken from them?
They get upset when we find out about this stuff because they try to keep it hidden.
This was someone's baby sleeping in that corner of the room. If you can just go up and click on my baby, like, why do I have the right to let my baby sleep there undisturbed and others don't, right? Like, we all have to feel this loss collectively.
We've known this
since the Bush era that 90%+ of the people killed in these drone strikes are innocent people. And the thing is, like, They deem every male child over the age of 13 as a combatant. That's just because they're of that age. So they don't even have to necessarily know for sure that they're in the military. But if they're of that age, they're considered that. So that even makes the numbers higher for innocent people. And they've known this since they started the drone program.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't know what this accomplished, but they're suffering in the world today. And
I guess the message is, if you want democracy, you got to kill some babies.
I don't want to end on that. Can we? Oh, look, mine's shifting a little bit.
Because that's what they say we're doing. They say we're spreading peace and democracy by killing babies.
Yeah.
Well, thanks to the skill and the bravery of our armed forces, that's what President Biden had to say about it. No Americans were killed. No Americans were killed in this.
All right, we're going to move on to what's trending after this break. And then we're checking back in and Eve Cam, hands come out. Soon she's going to kick off those covers and get hot. So she's doing all right. We're still able to do the show. Let's finish it up.
All right. Before we get to what's trending, let's tell you about our friends over at Moomoo. And it's a perfect opportunity to get some free stocks with Moomoo by going to morninginvest.com/Moomoo. Get up to $7,000 in free stocks. Reward yourself with a gift. They're also giving away a whole bunch of other gifts as well when you sign up. Again, the stock market's doing some crazy stuff. And I went in big on some different companies recently because I see the enormous growth and potential for companies like Palantir, Tesla specifically, also looking at what's happening with Amazon. And I think we're going to see some huge earnings from Amazon tonight. So this is an opportunity for you to get some free stock, open an up account, at least learn how to trade, learn how to invest for the long term for your family, make some money. And Moomoo is the perfect platform to do it because they've got free level 2 quotes. They've got a beautiful app that makes it super easy and intuitive. And they've got a paper trading section, which is like basically a training center. So you don't have to use your own money. Don't use your own money to start when you're learning. Use paper trades. Just do it on paper. There's a friend of mine. He is an excellent, excellent trader. Excellent trader. And what did he do? He spent 1 year training on paper trading. And he didn't use any of his own money. And now he makes like tens of thousands of dollars a day trading because he spent the time. He spent the time using like $50, $100 just in paper trading and figuring it out, understanding chart patterns, understanding what happens when, you know, you have a dip, understanding what happens in a short position when a company releases earnings, all of those things. He just spent a year doing it, and now he's making enormous amounts of money because of that. So open it up today, and you get some free money just opening the account. So go to morninginvest.com/Moomoo today and get up to $7,000 in free stock. Our thanks to them for supporting the show. All right.
What's trending? Let's tell you what's trending on the internet before we get you out of here. These are things that are being hotly debated or discussed on the internet. Susan Sarandon is trending because she posted this tweet, this one, about New York police officers attending a fellow officer's funeral. She pointed out that if the police force could step away from their jobs to attend the funeral on this day, does it not show that there are too many of them? She says, does this mean that they're not needed any day? People are hating on her for this on Twitter. The officer and his partner were shot responding to a domestic call in East Harlem.
Yeah, you saw that sea of blue. Huge, huge streets just filled with police officers on their way to that funeral.
I mean, look, is this a good use of your voice, right?
Right, Susan.
I think that sometimes we get so like caught up in wanting to say what we think, and then like, does that, you know, I think.
Well, she's on the right side of so many things, but in this one, I'd completely disagree with her.
Yeah, I don't know. I appreciate that response. It's just one of those where like, all right, you're taking a lot of heat for that today. Did you have to say that while we're, you know, honoring a fallen soldier? Hashtag delete Facebook is trending on Twitter, not on Facebook. This is a reaction to Facebook's stock dive after the company's earnings. The company reported a daily user loss for the first time in history. The Masked Singer is trending. This is would we call it a game show? It's like a...
It's a ridiculous show.
Or a reality game show.
I've never watched it. I've just seen the clips and I'm like, nope, not for me. But
so somebody sings and then, or is there? And anyway, so in taping for this show within the last few days, they unmasked the celebrity guest and it was Rudy Giuliani. And Ken Jeong. I don't know for sure. I couldn't find a video of it. I think there's no taping, like no actual live video yet, but... this upset the hosts, Ken Jeong and Robin Thicke, so much that they rocked off the live taping. Jenny McCarthy is trending because she did not walk off. And one other host who I forget at this moment. So I don't know if this episode will air or not. It begs the question, is Rudy Giuliani a celebrity?
Television. No, he's not a celebrity. He's just a...
It's like,
can we say douchebag on here?
Yeah, I would say it.
It's like Sean Spicer on Dancing with the Stars. Like, no, that guy went out and lied to the American public regularly. Let's not like make him a foxtrotting hero, you know, but okay, that's what we're allowed to do. Maybe he's got a publicity agent who thought this was an awesome idea. I don't know.
I have no. That's so weird. Like, why would Giuliani agree to that?
It's strange. But the thing with Giuliani,
I've interviewed him so many times. He's never met a camera he didn't like, Giuliani.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, there's a camera around, even if it's like the Four Seasons landscaping, he'll go to that camera.
Okay. Cancer cabinet is trending because President Biden announced, once again, I realize I failed to end on an up note. So I'm sorry, I'll try hard tomorrow. Yesterday, I was talking about how I try and write the trending show, the trending piece as a palate cleanser to like, okay, phew, we're done. I didn't do that.
Are you
going to
end
last.
On genocide again?
I'm ending on cancer cabinet. So okay. I'm sorry
a cancer
about that.
Cabinet.
The cancer cabinet is President Biden's new task force to find a cure for cancer. It basically is politicians inside his cabinet that are going to drive government efforts to find a cure. There is a video of him talking about it. Do we have it? No. Oh, no. This is something else.
Okay.
Sorry. Hold.
Oh,
no,
this is the positive note we're going to end on.
Yes, this. I do have one. I'm sorry.
Yay.
Hold on. Okay. The cancer cabinet. Let me just keep telling you about this and then we'll get there. The president's plan will focus on detention, treatment and prevention. But I think we should put an asterisk near the word prevention since the plan does not do any of the following: limit exposure to cancer causing agents in our food, drink or environment, or ask companies that manufacture those toxins to participate at all. So it's basically, let's just treat cancer in the lab and none of that's indicated, nothing that contributes to it. But okay, that's fine because there's too much lobbyist money behind that. Okay, let me tell you about this Honda. Honda is trending because of this dash cam video showing a driver of a Honda Civic exhibiting extremely aggressive behavior and then getting... wait, just pause for a second because I want everybody to judge for yourself whether or not this Honda had it coming. The general consensus is that they got their just desserts because they are aggressively driving and then they crash and injure only themselves. So you let me know, did this car have it coming or were the other cars just like not getting out of their way in time?
I'm going to go on a limb and say that looks like either New Jersey or Pennsylvania. Just looks.
It does. Go ahead.
All right,
roll
where's
tape.
The Honda? Right in front of the camera
it's,
here? Right in the middle of the screen?
It's this silver one.
Okay,
yeah.
Right, here we go.
What are you going to do, idiot?
What are you going to do, you idiot?
Okay, now we have brake check. Okay, what do you think? What are you doing? What are you doing? Oh, yes.
Okay, good.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Very nice.
Very
you
nice.
Suck.
Yeah, you'll.
Okay, so.
Oh, God.
Is that poetic justice, or should those other cars have got out of the way of that car being a jerk? What do you think? The general consensus on Twitter is that is a comeuppance.
Yeah, they got what they had coming, but I still would have stopped to help.
Yeah, you shouldn't be like, oh, good.
I wouldn't have been laughing. I would have been like, that dumb idiot, man, now I hope they're okay.
Wow, that's crazy. Should we watch it again?
I think so.
We all like a good car wreck. This does look like Pennsylvania or upstate New York or upstate New Jersey or something.
Definitely.
Near like Sussex County. This looks like Sussex County, New Jersey.
Maybe not. What are you
going to do, idiot? Near Sparta, New Jersey, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
Okay, now we have brake check.
So he's like, okay, I need to get around these people.
What are you doing?
All right, so that's not a kind response, but also don't drive like that.
He sounds like Stephen He on YouTube.
Yeah.
Idiot. Stupid failure.
All right, that's all we got for you today. I thought I saw my daughter move I might have to go. Let's see.
I do have a question really quick.
Okay.
About the Rudy Giuliani thing. I don't know if anybody watched it, but did anybody see when he pulled off his mask and revealed his face? Was his hair dye dripping?
I don't know. I have not found video of it yet. And maybe we'll see it and maybe we...
I'm just curious, like pull it off and he's got like black streaks down his face.
Yeah.
He's all sweaty under there.
Yeah. I know. I wonder if she can breathe like that. She's really buried herself in.
Well, every day I go in to see my son. He's, you know, he's buried under there. Like,
hey, I'm really good. Like on every movie, I'm the guy that looks at the stomach of the people that are supposed to be dead to see if they're breathing still. And I can see the blankets moving.
So. Yes.
Okay, good.
There you go. Look at that.
Remember when they're really little and, oh, her fingers are moving too. When,
well, and look, her face is actually not her. She's on her back and her face is between the pillows. You just can't see it. So she's not under the stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Remember how you used to watch them breathe when they're babies and get so scared about SIDS and all of that? So now if she can't breathe, she'll just move herself out of the way. But that fear never leaves you. Do we have super chats before she wakes up and we have to go?
Yep. Really? We got four. Okay. Ima, we did simulations proving lockdowns wouldn't work. And then Steve Walker, what happened to the Mandalorian cup?
Oh, yeah, I was looking for that today. Good question.
I think it was in the dishwasher.
You're an eagle-eyed observer. I was looking for that this morning, and I couldn't find it. I think it was in the dishwasher, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Sarah B., can David say the name of the Fauci article? I shared the link in the chat to you, Sarah. So, Barbara Waite, I don't think bankruptcy court is the avenue for student loan forgiveness. You request it from the Department of Ed, and it takes 3 years.
You're right, because student loan debt is you're not able to write it off in bankruptcy court. So it was unusual that this judge allowed for it.
And by the way, I should say the reason that it's not allowed anymore, it used to be allowed, but because of George W. Bush and Republicans pushing it through, but it had the support of President Biden at the time, Senator Biden. So again, he has had decades of this. He's had decades support or lack of support for reducing student loan debt in the United States. So we should not be surprised by that at all. All right.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us today. We appreciated your discussion very much. And we're back to, we don't have people to do this for us. So we got to get back to our five-year-old. Thank you again. And remember to subscribe to the newsletter. It's morninginvest.com.
Hey, I have a video. I published a video this morning over on my youtube.com/Clayton Morris channel. It's really where I focus on investing and stocks and building passive income. If you're interested in making money, come on over to youtube.com/Clayton Morris. I focused on my thoughts on Amazon today after the bell. They're going to be releasing their earnings. I have another video I just shot this morning as well on Facebook's earnings last night, where I see that company going. You know, I covered tech for so many years, covered these companies so closely, and it occurred to me that I should be focusing more on those, right? I mean, sort of a convergence of my passions, right? Tech and investing. So kind of zeroing in more and more on the companies that I invest in, like Apple and so forth, to give you my insights of what's moving the needle on these companies. So come on over to youtube.com/Clayton Morris and check out those videos. All right, everybody.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.